The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another edition of The Look Ahead, part of the SB Nation NFL show, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He is RJ Ochoa. What's up, RJ?
Stats, you suck, you smell, and I hate your face.
Trying to be mean to me now because you heard what me and BLG said on the off day debrief about how you're too nice.
What you want? Shut up. You're dumb. I hate everything you say. All right. Sorry for being kind. You know, I actually, I don't think anyone will be surprised by this. My senior year of high school, you get all the superlatives, most courteous right here. All right. That's what I won. So you know what, Stats? You can take your he's too nice and you can do whatever you want with it. I hope you do something pleasant with it because sorry for loving you and showering you with attention and favor. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry, you jerk.
Wow. You really told me. If you're new to this show, this is where we look at the four biggest matchups of the week. We take a deep dive into those and then we hit every other game that's going to be played on Thursday or Sunday. As always, we remind you, please rate, review, and subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show. You get this show, you get our daily updates, all the great work that is going on. It is a small thing that you can do, but it makes a big, big difference for us. If you leave a question in your review, I promise you, we will read it on the show. RJ, are you into Squid Game at all?
I'm not. I actually have been waiting for somebody to ask me about this. I don't totally know what it's about. I've seen most of the things about it on TikTok. I haven't really seen a lot of it anywhere else. But I think you probably watched it, if I know you. You probably checked it out. You want to know what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, I watched it. I'm hip, man. I want you to know I'm up on all the latest trends. And you can tell because I just said the phrase, I'm hip.
And but I mean, did you come away with anything? Apparently there's like an end that's somewhat shocking. Like, did you lose any sleep at night? Like, what's the impact on your day-to-day life?
You know, the end was okay. The show itself was very good. The ending could have been better in my opinion, but I think it's definitely worth your time. I didn't know if you were, you know, part of this show that's taking over the world, but I guess you're too cool for us.
I don't have a ton of time for shows because Stats, I work really hard.
RJ is too busy for television.
I'll have you know, I have discussed this with you. Like a year and a half ago, I committed to watching Seinfeld all the way through because I had never done that before. And I was watching it on Hulu and it left Hulu to head to Netflix. And so there was like a 2-month window where I didn't have it to watch, and it just recently hit Netflix, so I've picked that back up. So that's been my priority on Netflix, not this game of Squid that you seem to be into.
Yeah, you should definitely catch up on a show that debuted like 30-40 years ago. That is really the priority.
Sometimes, Stats, your words hurt. Just want you to know that sometimes the things you say can be hurtful.
All right, well, let's say some nice things then about some teams as we begin our deep dives here. The first game we're going to look at is not only the game of the week, could be one of the games of the year, which is amazing considering Chargers-Browns that we saw last week and Ravens-Colts that we saw on Monday night. But Chargers and Ravens, RJ, Baltimore is giving 2.5 points. This is just going to be a fun game all around.
Is it? Because I kind of think this is just a Chargers blowout win. You know, I love Baltimore. I love Kyle Barber. All right. Big Ravens guy. And by the way, screw the dudes on the Oddcast who suddenly want to throw roses at Lamar Jackson like they've been believers all along. I am the OG Lamar Jackson stan. So don't, you know, come at me with any of this. But as true as that is, you know, the Ravens were down against the Colts, right? The Ravens, you know, have flirted with fire a lot. They were down against the Lions. Like, if not for some miraculous, crazy, unbelievable things, their record could look a lot different here. And the Chargers are like hitting their stride. I think this is a Chargers, not blowout, but a convincing win that really kind of gasses up all the Chargers hype that's, you know, unstoppable at this point.
Normally, I would say the Chargers have the best quarterback in this game by far because it's Justin Herbert. And frankly, I think you can make the argument that he's the best quarterback in the entire league right now. But coming off what Lamar Jackson did last week, RJ, 442 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, also ran for 62 yards. Like, I'm not quite sure which quarterback's playing better right now. I'm not quite sure it's not Lamar Jackson.
That's fair. I mean, and I don't at all mean to say or intimate that is not the case. Lamar might be the MVP of the league through the first 5 weeks, and Justin Herbert might be the only guy that's like right behind him. Well, Dak Prescott, obviously. But I mean, this is, and I actually kind of hate this for the Chargers, like, and for us as football fans, because we've gotten these like massive games in September and October, right? Like this Chargers Chiefs game, Chargers Browns, Charger Ravens. I mean, I want to save this for when, you know, it's cooler outside. Like, I want to see Justin Herbert doing this in some long sleeves. I just, you know, for the theater of it all. But stats, I will say, after this, the road looks very, very, very nice for the Chargers. They're on their bye next week. But after that, New England, at Philadelphia, Minnesota, Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football, at Denver, at Cincinnati, the New York Football Giants. Their next difficult game comes on December 19th against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is on Thursday Night Football, to be fair.
A team that they've already beaten this season.
Mm-hmm. And that game's at home. So it is December, but it's you know, I don't know how much lightning there is in the LA area in mid-December, but I mean, it's not the cold, you know, in intimidating environment that is Arrowhead. And so they have made it through this incredibly difficult stretch with an impressive record to boot. Their only loss, again, coming to the best team in the NFL.
You know, I think of the Chargers as this like super high-powered offense, and they are. They score 28 points per game. But the Ravens score 27 points per game, and I don't think of them, you know, as like having this high-powered offense. Maybe that's just my perception of things. And both defenses are coming in. I mean, Baltimore allowed Carson Wentz to look great on Monday Night Football. If you know, any other outcome happens in that game, everybody's singing the praises of Carson Wentz about how Frank Reich is, you know, patching him up and it's working out there. Meanwhile, the Chargers got lit up by Baker Mayfield last week. So, like, this could be kind of like we saw the Cleveland Charger game last week, just like a 40-40 some odd game.
I hope so. I mean, this has game of the week potential written all over it. And right now, this might, you know, this is a battle, I think, of MVP candidates, but it might also be a battle of Coach of the Year candidates. I don't want to dismiss Sean McDermott's candidacy in that sense, but John Harbaugh's on fire. Brandon Staley has had his moments, but certainly on fire, and certainly had some wise words this week as well in terms of off the field things. But this is the game of the week, and I will take the Chargers stats. Obviously, I don't care about the points. I got the Chargers to win, to be clear.
If Lamar has just like a regular Lamar game and not a crazy, oh my God, he's doing everything Lamar game, do the haters come back out, or do you think we've sort of turned a corner with him?
Yeah, I think we've turned a corner. Like, I think, you know, like there's a special sector of haters that will be like, I told you, but like those people, like the people who were indifferent about it that had the wrong take, I think have atoned for it. They've done the walk of shame. And so now they're here to stay, Lamar Jackson among the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm going to take the Chargers as well. I don't feel totally confident in it, but if I had to pick a quarterback that I think is more dependable right now and more consistent right now, it is Justin Herbert. The guy's got more 300-yard games than anybody in his first two seasons. He is a freak. Some of the throws he makes on the move, especially like deep down the field on a line, it is stunning to me. And I, like I said, I think he's going to be the MVP. He was my preseason MVP pick. He is absolutely living up to it. And
I've never heard that before. Because all the talk I hear is that BLG picked him. I've never heard any evidence.
He never includes me on that. We picked him in the same show. I told him about that last week. Like, yeah, congratulations, dude. You picked Herbert. So did I.
Also, how funny is it, Stats, that BLG has assigned his only emotion this football season to the Los Angeles Chargers, and that even they have lost to the Dallas Cowboys this season. BLG just always loses to the Cowboys, it seems.
I mean, we are going to talk about the Cowboys later. I really don't think you had to shoehorn them into the show at that particular juncture.
I did. It's the rule. It's America's team.
All right. Can we move on here? We're both taking the Chargers. Oh, that's going to be a fantastic game. I wish it was in prime time, to be honest with you, because it deserves more love.
Yeah, and this week's Sunday night game is basura. Ugh. Gross.
It's what?
Basura. That's Spanish for trash.
I like that. I did not know that. You got to incorporate more Spanish words into the show.
You could say that, Stats. Try it. Ready? That game is basura.
Basura.
That's
there
a
you go.
Okay.
What's Spanish for really good? Because that's what we got coming up next in Arizona and Cleveland.
You could say it a number of different ways, but muy bien, muy bueno.
No.
Most
give me like a
say.
Word. If we're going basura for trash, I need
caliente. It's fire. It's hot.
It's fire. All
sexy.
Right. I like that. We got Cardinals going to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Cleveland is favored by 3 points. I thought Baker and company looked awesome last week against the Chargers. I know that they lost. BLG kind of dinged them in his power rankings after having them first going into the week. Cleveland looks really, really good right now. And Arizona's coming off of that game against San Francisco, RJ, where they had to scratch and claw just to score 17 points.
Yeah, I don't know that there's ever been a consensus like there seems to be this year about the last undefeated team. Because generally, like, the last one will go to, like, you know, they'll get to 8-0 or 9-0. It's kind of par for the course in a given NFL season. And generally speaking, like, in a power ranking setup, they're always, like, first. And it's always like, well, you got to give them deference. You know, they're the last undefeated team. You know, even, you know, what was it, 2013 or whatever it was, when the Chiefs got to, like, 14-0 or whatever it was. Even then, when the Broncos were so clearly and obviously better, it was still like, well, they're undefeated. They made it this far, blah, blah, blah. The Cardinals, I think we're all just like waiting for the bottom to come out. And like it will at a certain point, and it hasn't, to be fair, but it almost did against San Francisco, against a head coach who I think is among the bottom 10 coaches in the NFL right now. Sorry, Stats. And a rookie quarterback making his first start. And you barely, I know it was a divisional game, whatever you want to, you know, say that, you know, that factor had to do with it. But that was a really, you know, I will give BLG a shout out for coining the term like moral loss. You know what I mean? Like that was a really big moral loss for the Cardinals. Whereas the Browns, I think, had a moral win last week. You know, they lost, but played really well, and played really well in a way that I certainly didn't think that they could. I didn't think Baker had that in him, and I'm glad to be wrong there. I know you've been the biggest Baker stan around the SB Nation NFL show, so I do give you your credit, unlike your other co-host Stats. But I think the Browns are the team here to knock them off. And I think that Baker also thrives on, you know, like moments like this, like the chance to knock off the last undefeated team in the NFL. This is also the Oklahoma showdown, the Heisman showdown, et cetera. We've been waiting for this game for a long time. Not the best uniform matchup, if I'm being honest with you. I don't like when orange and red clash. It just is too much for me. But I feel very confident that the Browns are going to win this game. I think Kyler will have a tremendous play, probably involving Rondale Moore, but I think the Browns are just too much for the Cardinals overall.
Yeah, one of the things I look for in these types of matchups is, what are the strengths and weaknesses of each team? And do we have a situation where the strength of one team matches up against the weakness of another? And that's exactly what we have here, because Cleveland is built around the running game. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, that is how their offense moves down the field. And the Cardinals struggle stopping the run. The Cardinals have allowed the fifth most rushing yards in the league. They allow 139 rushing yards per game. Cleveland runs for more yards per game than anybody else in the league, up at 187. That's trouble for me if I'm a Cardinals fan, because you know Cleveland is going to pound the rock, and the Cardinals have shown no ability to stop it consistently this year.
Yeah, and you know, I'm excited to watch Kyler against this defense. And I know that Cleveland's had some issues so far. But I mean, Myles Garrett, you know, we talk about like we talk about MVP a lot, but like Myles Garrett is, I think, the clear, outside of Trayvon Diggs, the clear front runner for defensive player of the year. And so that might be the thing I'm most looking forward to here. Cause I will say if the Cardinals can win and if Kyler can avoid them, I mean, okay, it might, you know, then we might believe a little bit here, but I don't think that that's happening in this game. And I also think stats, if I'm predicting a take, I think that on Sunday evening / Monday morning, people will say, because I could see this being like a Browns blowout, honestly. And you know, kind of in the fourth quarter, like the, you know, the broadcast being like, wow, you know, Arizona was undefeated. You know, nobody really saw us coming. We didn't listen to the look ahead. But after the game, people being like, told you, J.J. Watt should have signed with the Browns. That will be the take that people come up with next week.
J.J. Watt had a fantastic game against the 49ers last week, that jerk. One thing I want to ask you about is San Francisco did an incredible job against Kyler on the ground. Kyler Murray had 7 carries for 1 yard last week against the 49ers. Do you think that he is going to run more against Cleveland? Because I feel like the Cleveland's kind of built the same way in that they can have Myles Garrett chasing him all over the place like the 49ers did with Nick Bosa.
I think he's going to have to run out of necessity. I mean, I don't know how, you know, you can think that it won't be the case. And so we've seen him really grow and develop to where he doesn't rely on that as much anymore. But I think, you know, if there's a game where it's like, hey, dude, smash the panic button more often than not, it's against Myles Garrett. So I definitely think that will be the case. But again, Nick Chubb is so good, dude. I mean, like, I think that the Browns are just too much for them in every phase of the game. The Browns are like a light, like LITE version of the Bills. Like they're very, very, very good at just about every single thing.
You think Cleveland is Diet Buffalo?
I would say so, yeah. I think that's a compliment.
I don't know about that, but think about what's at stake in this game for both sides, right? Cleveland could really use the win. If they win this game, they go to 4-2. Baltimore could very well lose to the Chargers, which would then put Cleveland in a tie for the lead in the division. And for the Cardinals, like, they're trying to stay ahead of the Rams this week. Even though they're undefeated, like, there's not a lot of room for error there. They need this win. Otherwise, the NFC West gets a lot tighter. The outcome of this game is big for both sides.
I will say, stats along those lines, a little bit of a loser at this point in the season is the NFC West juice. We thought, like, oh, this could be the division to send 4 teams to the playoffs. I would contend that the AFC North is actually a more interesting division than the NFC West. I mean, I'm sorry to you, and I know I've been inordinately kind this episode, but this will hurt. I mean, this is a 2-team race in the NFC West, and not just 2 teams for the division. I think that Arizona and LA are the only 2 playoff teams emerging from the West, especially given the Russell Wilson situation. Kyle Shanahan is the situation in San Francisco, as Niners Nation has told us many a time. But in the AFC North, you've got the Browns. I mean, you mentioned like they're in the, you know, the race for the division. They're third right now in the AFC North. I mean, they're behind Cincinnati. I mean, so, and that's with Cincinnati losing last week. I mean, so I'm excited about the AFC North. I mean, the Steelers are, you know, the biggest frauds, but like the AFC North is sending 3 teams. I'm starting to come around to that.
I don't know if I'm willing to go that far yet. I still don't believe in Cincinnati in any kind of way, but you're right. Like right now they are what their record says they are. And so that's what we have to go on. I think I'm going to go with Cleveland. I will give the points. I agree with you. I think they win, and I think they win much more convincingly than most people think.
So you basically stole everything I said. Good for you.
I don't have a comeback for that. I'm not going to lie. Let's go to our next game on the list. Green Bay traveling to Chicago to take on the Bears. The Bears are getting 4.5 points in this game. Normally, I would say, hey, it's the
Bears
Packers.
Are getting 4.5 points in this game. Oh, sorry. My bad. I'm dumb. We both had dumb moments here, stats.
Yours is far worse than mine. Normally, I would say, like, Packers, don't worry about it. But when they're facing a mobile quarterback, RJ, sometimes I feel like mobile quarterbacks are equalizers because they can do things off script and outside of the structure of the offense that you just can't always account for a defense. And this is a Packers defense that has no Za'Darius Smith, no Jaire Alexander. They're not exactly a great pass rushing team anyway. I give the Bears a puncher's chance in this game.
I think that's fair. I also, I mean, like, I know a moment ago I kind of threw some love at the Bengals, but if I'm being like totally honest, I mean, I don't know if I really believe in the Bengals. And that's an important point here because A, they are a CB team, just like the Bears, you know, Packers playing back-to-back CB, Cincinnati Bengals, Chicago Bears. We already talked about the Cleveland Browns, but I mean, the Packers really played down to that Bengals team, I thought. And Joe Burrow is exceptional, certainly much better than Justin Fields is at the moment. I mean, like, sizably better. But I think that the Packers, like, I think we're starting to see that. What you and I have been saying, and nobody else, we knew that the Packers were a little bit fraudulent here. And this is a nice stretch for them, if we're being totally honest with ourselves. I mean, after this, they get Washington. I mean, think about it. these four games in a row after that game winner against San Francisco, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, now in Chicago, then Washington. And so everybody's like, oh, watch out. This team's going to challenge for the NFC title. I would not be stunned if Chicago found a way to win because of Justin Fields. I agree that that's an equalizer. But I think the, like, unequalizer, so to speak, is Matt Nagy. I mean, because, like, he almost, like, I don't know if I've ever seen a coach who's so, like, depressed about, like, the fact that his quarterback is succeeding. I mean, it feels broken and awkward and wonky. I don't like it. He reminds me of, have you ever seen the movie The Cooler with William H. Macy?
No.
He plays some, like, he's this, like, morose person who works at a casino, and, like, something about him is just, like, really negative in terms of energy. And so, like, if somebody at the, like, you're playing craps stats and you're hot, you're, like, picking up, you know, you're winning and making all sorts of cash, he just goes and sits and starts playing, and, like, the bad luck befalls you. Like, that's who he's, the cooler, and that's who Matt Nagy is. And so, like, as hot as Justin Fields might be able to be, we haven't necessarily seen that, but Matt Nagy will be the guy to cool it off.
Can I just say, as a side note, and I don't know if I should admit this as a 36-year-old man, I have no idea how craps works. I don't know how it works.
Me neither. That was a bad example. We'll just say blackjack. You know what I mean? But I have no idea how it works either. I'm totally with you.
Like, how do you have to roll a 7, but then you don't have to roll a 7? I don't know how you bet on it.
Why is the stick curved? And like, it's super weird, and I don't like it. We'll stick to blackjack, hold'em. You know what I mean? Like, more simplistic games like that.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. If you know how it works, please, I'm at Stats on Fire on Twitter. He is at RJ Ochoa, or you can drop the comment in the review that you're going to leave for us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen. Here's another thing for the Packers, RJ, and maybe this is like, so what? You can't stop it anyway. But 56% of the Packers' offensive yards have come from Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. Mm. Like, that's all they have. That's all they have. And the Bears do not have a bad defense. And maybe they're just so good that it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers is certainly capable of making just those FU throws where it doesn't matter if your cornerback is right there, he fits it in. But doesn't that have to catch up with Green Bay eventually?
Well, I think we're seeing it catch up with Kansas City in a different sense, right? Like, teams have learned, take away Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? And you can have success. And so I know it's not that simplistic, but take away Devontae Adams. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it will be a much easier day for you. And so I agree with you, like, fundamentally, and that's why I can't wait to watch them play Arizona. But this is the Bears, dude. I mean, Aaron Rodgers owns them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers owns the Cowboys, but he, like, owns the Bears. You know, I mean, so far be it from me to believe that this is the game where the Packers' kryptonite really starts to show up. I think it's lurking, but, I mean, this is the Bears. And I think Justin Fields raises that floor, but some forces are too impossible to overcome, and the Chicago Bears are one of them. I'm going to get this wrong because I read it earlier this morning, so apologies for not having the total fact. But Aaron Rodgers was asked this week, I guess, to name all of the, I think it was 16 quarterbacks that he has played against in Chicago over his career as a Green Bay Packer, and I think he named 4. And think of it, like, the only ones I can name are Kyle Orton, Jay Cutler. It gets a little bit tough after that.
Jason Campbell.
So the list, like, in order chronologically, very quickly: Kyle Orton, Rex Grossman, Jay Cutler, who is the longest tenured, Todd Collins, Caleb Haney, who got into that NFC Championship game back in 2010. So shout out to him. Josh McCown, we forgot. Jason Campbell, you're the only one who would have got that stats. Jimmy Clausen, Matt Barkley, Brian Hoyer, Mitchell Trubisky, Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, Nick Foles, and Andy Dalton are the quarterbacks that the Bears have had since 2008.
My God. The only reason I remember Jason Campbell is because he started against Colin Kaepernick in Kaepernick's first start on Monday Night Football.
In San Francisco at Candlestick. I remember that now.
Yeah, and he got absolutely destroyed by that defense. Yeah, the Bears can't get a quarterback this just in. And I think I'm actually going to take the Bears with the points in this one.
Dumb.
I'll take the 4.5, even though I think that the Packers will win this game, but I think it's not going to be easy. Green Bay has scored fewer and fewer points as the season has gone along, RJ. 35, 30, 27, 25. They're due for like a 20-point game.
That's
maybe
enough.
The Bears can keep it close enough to win with the points.
I'll take the Packers.
Why?
Because of the entire discussion that we just had.
Yeah, but why male models?
What?
You serious? I just told you that a moment ago.
You don't know that line?
No.
Why male models from Zoolander?
I've actually never seen that movie.
Oh my God. What?
Yeah. I started it once. And then like something happened. I had to leave, or I don't remember what. And it was like on TV, so it wasn't like I have the DVD or anything. So if it's on a streaming service, I'll think about it. But yeah, not happening.
You have to watch it. It is fantastic. All right, let's take a break. We have one more game to take a deep dive into, and I know it's of special interest to you, RJ, because it's Cowboys and Patriots. And then, as always, we have to get to our lightning round.
Caliente.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
One more deep dive to take, and now I'm not going to lie to you, RJ. I was desperately searching for a game to take a deep dive into. I settled on Cowboys-Patriots, and here's why. Even though I think the Cowboys should win this game easily, if there is a coach out there that is going to find a way to slow down the Cowboys' offense, it's going to be Bill Belichick. He slowed down Tampa Bay's offense earlier this year. Patriots are getting 3.5 points in this game. What do you like?
So, lately, in the Blog and the Boys universe, subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast network, the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel, check out blogandtheboys.com. We have been talking about expectations for this season for the Cowboys and how they've changed. And something I've talked about within that is the Cowboys have now become this should have team. And this is something I've discussed with BLG on the NFC's mixtape, which you can listen to both on the Blog and the Boys podcast network and the Bleeding Green Nation podcast network. You know, the Cowboys, we all said, every Cowboys fan, if they can go 1-1 in those first two games against Tampa and the Chargers, that's a huge win. It was never likely to beat both of those teams. But after that, you know, you remember going into that Monday night game against Philly, they were trash. And it was very obvious that they were trash. But, you know, the Cowboys have played down to those opponents before. They lost to the Jets 2 years ago. I mean, they have come off of a nice game like they did against the Chargers and then either barely won or lost. And it's just they've never been able to sustain that. And so they, you know, our challenge as Cowboys fans is go out, beat the crap out of them. And they did. And then it was, okay, you got these 3-0 Panthers coming to town. They're a bit of a paper tiger. Go out and expose them. And they did. They beat the crap out of them. And then it's, okay, you got the Giants coming to town. You know, they're not a great team. Go out, beat them. And unfortunately, the Giants sustained a number of injuries. You obviously hope all those players are doing well. And unfortunately, at halftime, Daniel Jones, you know, it looked like he was not going to play the second half. And in terms of the football, it became, you know what? You've got Mike Glennon, big Mike Glennon show today. Go out and beat the crap out of them. And they did. And so they are living up to the challenges. And that is very strange for the Dallas Cowboys. I can tell you that. And it's very nice, but it is disconcerting because you feel like the bottom is going to come out soon. And if it is ever going to come out, to your point, it is going to be against the Patriots. And this isn't who the Patriots have been. We all fully acknowledge that. But there is some sort of, I think, like, exorcism involved, if you want to call it that. The Cowboys haven't beaten this team since 1996. I mean,
wow.
And they generally play poorly against you know, the Patriots. They're never like great games for the brands that are, you know, the Cowboys and the Patriots. The only real great game they've played was, I don't know if you remember the stats, in 2007, the Cowboys and Patriots were both undefeated and they met at Texas Stadium. T.O. called out Randy Moss for wearing number 81. It was a big old deal. Ever since then, you know, 2011 was whatever. 2015, Brandon Whedon started because Tony Romo was hurt. And 2019, their last meeting, there was a monsoon. So it's just this low-scoring game. So the challenge is, Cowboys, go beat them. Go beat Bill Belichick's Patriots. It won't be the same, but on Sunday night, we'll totally act like it was if it happens. And yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are on their bye too next week, just like the Chargers. Go get to 5-1. And if they do, stats, they will be, since losing Michael Gallup to a calf strain, since having Lyle Collins suspended, since seeing DeMarcus Lawrence break his foot, Donovan Wilson have a groin injury, one of their reserve tackles, Ty Nsekhe, suffer heat exhaustion. If they go out and win on Sunday, they will have gone 5-0 since all of those things befell them the Friday morning after they lost to the Buccaneers.
If they win this game, the division's over. Like, you can lock it up, book it. They're NFC East champs.
We're going to obviously touch on the other games, but New York has the Rams. Washington has the pissed off Chiefs, and Philadelphia plays tonight on Thursday against the Buccaneers. It's very, very, very possible. In fact, arguably likely that Dallas is the only team to win in week 6.
And everything is rolling for them. I mean, Zeke had consecutive 100-yard games for the first time in 2 years. Diggs is getting an interception every freaking game this year. He has at least one in every game this year. Like, everything is coming up Cowboys right now.
You know, I gave you a shout out stat several times this week on Blogging the Boys Properties because you were the person who made me realize that Zeke's successful seasons have come when he has had a full body of work in the offseason. 2016, 2018, obviously had the holdout in 19. 17 was the will he, won't he be suspended. And last year, obviously, you know, was the pandemic, and Zeke himself tested positive for COVID. But, you know, what's been fascinating is the usage for Zeke. He is off to the third best start of his career, behind only 2016 and 2018 from a yardage standpoint. He's tied for the most touchdowns through 5 games of his career. And he's doing all of this with what is tied for the fewest amount of touches, fewest amount of rushing attempts. But beyond that stats, he has the highest yards per carry through the first 5 games of a season in his career. So, I mean, you said everything's coming up Cowboys. If you had like designed this, you know, if you had said, what's the most perfect, you know, result, it would be, well, we don't use him as much, so we keep him fresh. We incorporate Tony Pollard, and he still manages to outperform the ridiculous levels we've seen in the past. And then if I had said that, you would have gone, yeah, that's stupid. You know, you also want to win the lotto and, you know, whatever. But they're doing it. Like, they're actually doing it, which is insane. And the insanity of it does make you feel like this dream has to end at a certain point. But Kellen Moore, that's what so many people are so confident in. The first Zeke touchdown last week was incredible. It was this, like, fake pitch to him that Dak ultimately, you know, floated a touchdown to him on. And, I mean, the Cowboys are in their bag right now, and it's hard to doubt them. They're starting through the shoulds. They're starting to earn more and more of the benefit of the doubt.
Where do you put them in the hierarchy of the NFC?
I would put Arizona ahead of them. You know, I think there is some deference to being undefeated, although, you know, I think you and I both don't believe in them to a long degree. But and the Cowboys do play them, but that game will be in week 17. And so, I mean, it's hard to imagine what the Cowboys are playing for. Then maybe that is the 1-2 seed game. I mean, if you're really being hypothetical here, I think you have to put them behind the Bucks, especially because they lost. I know the Bucks have had some flat moments, but the Bucks looked great last week. After that, that's where they are for me. I know you guys have your own power rankings on the Oddcast, but I write some myself. And I had the Cowboys 4th this week. I had Buffalo 1, Tampa 2, or Arizona 2, excuse me, Tampa 3, and Dallas 4.
You had Dallas ahead of the Browns.
Yeah.
Boy, that's some home cooking right there in those power rankings.
I think they've had a very similar season so far. I mean, and the Browns are 3-2. So
that's why you gotta listen to the off-day debrief. It's the only 100% accurate power rankings in the entire NFL podcast.
No, it's not,
universe.
Because you guys crowned the Browns for their performance in Kansas City in week 1. Well, they went down to the wire with the AFC champions, blah, blah, blah. And you guys dismissed the way Dallas played Tampa Bay in the opener. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, One of the Browns' two losses, I think, is very comparable to Dallas's only loss in Kansas City and Tampa. Took them down to the wire. You can argue they should have won, et cetera. And the Browns lost to the Chargers. I hate to be like Mr. Transitive Property Guy, but the Cowboys beat that team in that same building and did not allow that much offensive production. So as stout as Cleveland's defense is, Dallas played them better a month ago.
Yeah, I know. You think the Cowboys are better than everybody. They're going to win every game. And, you know, we don't even need to talk about it. But that concludes our four deep dives. We have a lightning round for week six, RJ. Are you ready?
The lightning round!
First up on the dock is the game tonight. Tampa Bay going to Philadelphia. Eagles get 7. Brady's sort of hurt. He's sort of got a hand thing. Can the Eagles pull this off?
No way. I think the Bucs win. I think they cover, but I think it's a late cover. I think it's a little bit close for a little while. Maybe it's like a final touchdown that puts it out of reach for Tampa.
I agree. Although Jalen Hurts, I think, is better than people give him credit for. He's had like four or five touchdowns called back this season, which is just crazy. But yeah, Tampa's going to get that done. Let's go to London now. Dolphins taking on the Jags in a quote-unquote home game for Jacksonville. They're getting 3 points. Trevor Lawrence looks like crap. The Jags are crap. Miami's winning this one.
Once upon a time, it used to be a situation where if you were a coach on the ropes and you lost in London, you had to get your own flight back. I wonder if that could happen to Urban Meyer. It happened to Dennis Allen of the Raiders, ironically. I'll take the Dolphins. I mean, the Jaguars are that bad.
If you can't beat the Jags, Miami has real, real problems. Let's go to Detroit now. Cincinnati and the Lions. Detroit is getting 3.5 points. Joe Burrow seems determined to do everything he can to get himself injured this year, but I still think Cincinnati gets the win.
I think Cincinnati has something to prove to us, and I don't know that Detroit is like that opportunity, but go out and just win. You know, don't make it dramatic. Don't be silly about it. Just go out and win. I don't know that I think they can. I'll take them, but I'm doing it with some hesitancy.
They should have beaten the Packers last week. It's unbelievable that they didn't. This is a game I care least about, RJ. Houston in Indianapolis. The Colts are giving 10 points. I don't know if I want to give that many.
No, I will take the Texans to cover at the very least. But yeah, this is the grossest game of the season. I mean, like, this is disgusting. I literally don't like anything about this game. I feel badly. I don't know who I feel badly for. But like, this game just makes me feel bad. That's my primary emotion.
This is the game where when red zone shows it, you're mad. That's how you know nothing else is happening.
You check your phone. Like, you're like, oh, let me check my fantasy score. They're showing Davis Mills throwing to, you know, whoever.
Exactly. Whoever. The Rams are in New York to take on the Giants. The Giants are getting 10. That is not nearly enough for me. Saquon Barkley's banged up. Daniel Jones. I mean, we don't know what's going on. The Rams are going to kill him.
Also, Joe Judge continues to be very, very, very bad at his job. Preaches nothing but discipline. Had a player ejected last week. And stats, I don't know if you've seen this, Giants tight end Evan Ingram has apparently accused, not apparently, he has outright accused Cowboy safety Jayron Kearse of punching him after the game during the post-game handshakes and pleasantries. Obviously not a pleasant moment, allegedly. According to reports here that are making their way around, you know, NFL circles, NFL films checked the tape, and there is no evidence of this whatsoever. Never mind the fact that two Giants players ripped off Cowboys helmets, and never mind the fact that Jayron Kearse, the player who Evan Ingram is accusing of punching him, was the first person to run to Daniel Jones's aid when he was hurt and wobbling when he got hurt. So there are big loser vibes coming from Big Blue View, which is a great website, but not a great football team right now.
Kansas City is taking on the Washington football team. Washington's getting 7 points. I don't know which defense is worse in this game.
Kansas City's is worse, to be clear. But Kansas City, the first-ranked offense by DVOA, the last-ranked defense by DVOA. I guarantee you stats in the offseason, we're going to get some sort of like think piece about how Patrick Mahomes, like this season actually proved that Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT because he carried the worst defense in the NFL, blah, blah. Kansas City will win. Kansas City will cover. But I don't know that their problems are anywhere behind them.
I agree with you completely there. Minnesota goes to Carolina to take on the Panthers. The Panthers are getting 1.5 points. Sam Darnold is going to continue to show people he is a pumpkin, RJ. He threw not one, not two, but 3 picks last week. I think that is only going to continue.
Back-to-back weeks where Sam Darnold has thrown multiple interceptions to a single player. Darius Slay last week, Trayvon Diggs 2 weeks ago. I told you when we were prepping for this that this is my prove you're not a fraud bowl game, and I think that that goes both ways. Carolina, get off the schneid. You've lost back-to-back games to the NFC East, the division that everybody loves to dog on. Minnesota, you pulled one off last week after keeping things way too close against the Lions. Get to 3-3. I mean, we all believe in you to a certain degree. Get to 500 and life is possible for you in November.
That's a really good point. Honestly, I thought their season was circling the drain and they can potentially turn it around, at least get back to 500 with a win. The Raiders are in Denver. Denver is giving 3.5 points. Obviously, we know everything going on with the Raiders. Rich Bisaccia is the interim head coach. By the way, shout out to him. Fantastic opening press conference. Dropped a swear in there too, which I always appreciate. I don't know which way to go on this one. Are the Raiders going to continue to be a tire fire, or are they going to rally together and actually get a boost? Because sometimes from the interim head coach, you get a boost.
First of all, love Rich Bisaccia, former Dallas Cowboys special teams coordinator, really beloved figure in the building when he was. Left the Cowboys after a long time, specifically to go follow John Gruden in his return, obviously when he joined the Raiders in 2018. I'm with you, Stats. It is difficult to understand. And generally, interim coaches are after a coach was fired because the team is bad, right? Like this, I mean, I know the Raiders have been disappointing, but that isn't necessarily the case here. Obviously, this is an extremely unique situation. I think I would lean loss normally, like if they were playing the average team in the NFL. But because the Broncos are the most fraudulent frauds in the NFL, this might be a win. And this, if it is a win, especially a divisional win, man, that could be so good for this team. And I really want, you know, the team to have a great moment. I think the players and the other coaches on their staff and everybody, I mean, their fans, Raiders fans, I really want them to have a great moment. Obviously, this is a horrible situation, but if they get that divisional win, that could really, really help them. I don't know that they're out of the running, you know, to be a wild card team this season.
I agree with you. They go Eagles next, then at the Giants, then they play the Chiefs. Like, there's an opportunity for the Raiders to stack a couple wins together if they can do it. Last game we're going to look at, Seattle with no Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. The Steelers are giving 5.5 points. If it were any other offense that Seattle was facing, I would feel really good. But, like, the Steelers offense stinks. There's no Juju Smith-Schuster. What do you see in this, RJ?
Stats, this is going to annoy you so much because the Seahawks are going to beat the Steelers. And it's going to have the world talk. Because you know how Twitter can be during a Sunday night game? Like, you know, everyone kind of latches on to a certain, like, tree of ideas. And it will be like Pete Carroll has done a phenomenal job. And they'll show, like, Russell Wilson, if he's there in person, like, in his, like, Seahawks, like, half zip or whatever, like, rooting them on. Or if he's not, he'll tweet, like, you know, a photo of him at home, like a Go Hawks, and it will drive you up a wall. And I don't know that that we'll be able to discern that the Seahawks are legitimately going to maybe survive until Russell Wilson gets back, but the Steelers are that bad. I will correct myself. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the biggest fraudulent frauds in the National Football League this season. Cool. They got a win last week. Again, it was against the Denver Broncos. Like, it does not mean anything to me. And then the conversation will be, because this is what happens. People go, like, it's such a sine curve, you know, up and down. People are like, what happened? The Steelers won last week. They were back. The offense was back. They scored in the first quarter. Nah, dude, this team sucks. This offense sucks. The Seahawks. Jamal Adams is going to have, like, 4 sacks in this game.
Oh, God, spare me from that. Geno didn't look horrible when he filled in. It's just, I think the Seahawks defense is so bad, it's not going to be fair to him to have to score, you know, 28 points a game. I'll take the Steelers in this one. I don't think they cover, but I just have to take Ben over Geno Smith, even a weakened lesser Ben on the back nine of his career.
He's not on the back nine, dude. Like, the clubs are in 18? The trunk. No, the clubs are in the trunk. Like, he's checking his emails and text messages from when he was playing. He's already taken off the cleats and he's got the flip-flops on. Like, this is way beyond the back nine.
Well, there you go. That is the look ahead for this week. Again, we remind you, please rate, review, subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show. If you leave a question in your review, especially if you're mean to RJ, I will read it on the show. You have a fantastic week, RJ.
You have a great week, Stats. I love you.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.
Pendo.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.